Texte numéro 14. An undeclared apartheid grips Cape Town. South Africa is frequently declared as the most unequal society in the world, and it is Cape Town where the cancer of injustice is often diagnosed most vividly. There is a Cape Town of opera houses, internet entrepreneurs, and luxury mansions. But the millions of tourists who pour through its gleaming airport each year glimpse another Cape Town flanking the motorway to the city, a sprawling underclass crammed into flimsy shacks. This is the Cape Town of violence, terrible poverty, and toxic lifestyles. Its victims are invariably non-white. It is not the Cape Town that Desmond Tutu dreamed of and fought for. 17 years after white minority rule gave way to multiracial democracy, there is a charge that Cape Town remains an apartheid city in all but name. Zola Skosana, pastor of a church in Khayelitsha, Cape Town's biggest township, completed a month-long hunger strike last September to protest the treatment of the poor. "It is interesting to me," he says, "that a woman would make up a bed in a 5-star hotel, then come home to sleep on the floor, or cook the best meal for someone else and live off a slice of bread." "Black people feel this is the old South Africa," Skosana continues. "If you come to Cape Town, you've come to the last post of the colonial history of this country. Both politically and economically, white people are in power. In other parts of South Africa, black people don't have to wake up and say, 'Yes, boss,' and feel psychologically oppressed. In Cape Town, they still have to deal with that attitude." The mother city is where the struggle between master and slave began. Soon after Captain Jan van Riebeck landed at the Cape in 1652, the Dutch East India Company began taxing indigenous people, shipping slaves, and fighting for land and water. Today, the Slave Lodge is a museum opposite St. George's Cathedral, the 19th century colonial church which Tutu transformed into a fortress of resistance to racial apartheid. Tutu, elected Archbishop of Cape Town in 1986, was the spiritual leader of the movement and the voice of the campaign to free Mandela, whose first speech after his release was made on the balcony of Cape Town's City Hall. Yet the city's role in this historic endeavour is, for some, mocked by today's uncompromising, grim reality. Khayelitsha has a million people who must travel long distances to go to the city every day to work, come back at sunset, and live in squalor. Centuries of colonial oppression and decades of pernicious segregation are a burden likely to last for generations. As Desmond Tutu always said, winning freedom is one thing, using it is twice as hard. Adapted from The Guardian Weekly, October 2011.